Welcome to episode 1342 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Jesus arrives in a world drowning in images of God, not carved idols, though some existed, but mental images, theological, political, nationalistic, spiritual images. The people had a God who fit their categories, who could be managed through the right rituals, who could be accessed through the right location, who could be impressed through the right performance. And Jesus, systematically and relentlessly, dismantles every one of these images. He does not do this to be difficult. He does this because false images are as destructive as carved ones. They prevent genuine relationship. They allow us to worship an illusion instead of the living God. Jesus is the second commandment made incarnate. A Samaritan woman at a well asks Jesus where people should worship. Samaritans say Mount Gerizim. Jews say Jerusalem. Both locations are sacred, have long histories, have become places where people believe God is contained. Jesus responds,
God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth.
Notice what Jesus does. He does not choose between the options. He rejects the entire premise. God is not located in Jerusalem or on Gerizim. God is spirit. Spirit cannot be contained in a location, cannot be accessed through a building, cannot be trapped in a form. Jesus is teaching the deepest truth of the second commandment. God cannot be managed or controlled through religious forms. True worship is not about where you stand or what objects you possess or what rituals you perform. It is relational, responsive, and truthful. This is radical. The woman has her entire understanding of access to God overturned in a single conversation. She discovers the truth is far more liberating than the form ever was. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus does something striking. He takes the commandments, which the people thought they understood, and reveals their understanding was based on a false image of God. They thought God cared primarily about external obedience. Jesus says God cares about the heart. They thought God was impressed by public righteousness. Jesus says God sees what is hidden and judges accordingly. They thought God required strict rule-keeping. Jesus says God requires love.
You have heard that it was said, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment.
Jesus is not abolishing the commandments. He is purifying the image of God that had become distorted around them. The people had created a God who was satisfied with surface compliance. Jesus reveals a God who is concerned with the interior truth of your heart. This is second commandment work. The people had made an image of God, one who could be satisfied through external performance. Jesus dismantles it and reveals the true God, one who demands truthfulness, who sees into the heart, who cannot be fooled by religious posturing. When the rich young ruler approaches Jesus with flattery, good teacher, Jesus responds oddly.
Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone.
Jesus will not allow himself to be turned into a comforting religious figure. He will not accept an image of himself as a gentle moral teacher who will affirm your choices. He resists the softened, flattering picture. This is crucial. Jesus is not being humble. He is resisting idolatry, refusing to let himself become a reassuring mascot, something people can project their desires onto. The same refusal appears throughout his ministry. When people want to make him king, he withdraws. When his disciples expect him to overthrow Rome, he points toward the cross. When crowds seek him for material benefit, he challenges them to follow him through sacrifice. Jesus will not be the God people want. He will only be the God people need. The Sadducees reject the idea of resurrection. It does not fit their theology. It makes no sense in their system. So they construct an elaborate argument. Resurrection cannot be true because it leads to logical absurdities. Jesus says,
you are badly mistaken because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God.
Jesus is saying something radical. Your theology is an idol. You have made God fit your logic. You have shrunk God to fit your conceptual limits. And in doing so, you have made God smaller than he actually is. The second commandment forbids carved images, but it also forbids conceptual images. The way we shrink God to fit our systems, logic, understanding. False theology is idolatry. It replaces the living God with a manageable substitute. Jesus insists, God is greater than your system. He operates with a power you have not imagined. He will not be contained by your categories. Jesus watches the religious leaders elevate their traditions, human interpretations of the law, above the law itself. They have created a system so elaborate, so fixed, that it no longer serves God. Now it serves itself. Jesus responds,
Jesus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down.
Tradition has become an idol. It is a fixed representation of God's will, fixed by humans, managed by humans, serving human interests. It has replaced living obedience with institutional conformity. The second commandment protects against this. By forbidding images, God is insisting, you cannot replace me with a system. You cannot delegate relationship to tradition. You must encounter me directly, personally, responsively. When Jesus enters the temple, he sees something that should be a place of worship transformed into a marketplace.
It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers.
The temple had become a mechanism. Worship had been reduced to transaction. God's presence was treated as manageable, something you could access through the right sacrifice, offering, payment. Jesus is defending God's holiness against domestication. God will not be treated as a vending machine, not be reduced to a transaction, not be managed through religious commerce. The temple itself, the most sacred object in all of Judaism, had become an idol precisely because it was being used to contain and control access to God. Here is where Jesus reaches the climax of Second Commandment teaching.
Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered,
don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father.
This is staggering. God forbade images, but God chose to give one. Not a carved representation, not a conceptual system, not a fixed tradition, but his own self. Jesus is not a human-made image. Jesus is God's self-given revelation. Jesus is how God chose to be seen. The second commandment is not abolished. It is fulfilled. We are forbidden to make images of God because God alone chooses how to be seen. And God chose to be seen in Jesus, walking, speaking, healing, suffering, loving. Throughout his ministry, Jesus consistently refuses the images people try to impose on him. When crowds want to make him king, to be the political Messiah who will overthrow Rome, Jesus withdraws. His disciples expect political redemption. Jesus points to the cross. The people want a God aligned with power, dominance, and nationalism. Jesus consistently refuses this image. Why? Because these are human projections. They are what people want God to be, not what God actually is. And Jesus will not allow himself to be turned into a projection of human political hope. The second commandment forbids reducing God to an image. It also forbids reducing God to a political idol, a God who serves our interests, affirms our nation, blesses our violence, validates our power. Even at the cross, at the moment of deepest suffering, Jesus refuses to reduce God to a neat theory. He does not explain suffering away. He does not offer a comfortable doctrine of divine providence. Instead, he preserves mystery. He allows God to remain larger than his understanding. He maintains faithfulness even when God seems absent. This is what faithful worship looks like. Not understanding, not certainty, but trust that God is larger than your categories, deeper than your theology, more real than your pain. We want to invite you to test one of your certainties about God against what Jesus actually teaches. Take something you believe about God. Now read one of the gospel passages we explored. Does Jesus affirm your belief? Or does Jesus challenge it, reform it, expand it? Do not try to force agreement. Let Jesus' teaching stand. Let it unsettle you if it needs to. The second commandment forbids images. And Jesus, God incarnate, is why. God will not allow us to make images because we cannot be trusted to make them truthfully. We distort, shrink, project, reduce God to what we want God to be. But Jesus, God's chosen image, reveals the truth. Not through a form we can control, but through a person we must respond to. Not through a doctrine we can master, but through a life we must follow. Not through an abstraction we can manage, but through a God who challenges us, heals us, loves us, and calls us to transformation. Father, help us stop trying to reduce you to something we can control. Help us let Jesus be our true image of you. Help us follow the living God Jesus reveals, not the false God we create. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full, today.